Thank you for tuning into Trevor Talks Podcast, where we talk to real people about real topics and real stories. Today, I have the great pleasure of speaking with Mr. Kevin Williams. Not only does Kevin own three Chick-fil-A locations in Canton, Georgia, Kevin is an author and an advocate for something that I believe that the world could truly use a little bit more of right now, and that is kindness. His new book, Irrational Kindness, hit stores last week, and he just finished up his East Coast book tour. Ladies and gentlemen, here's my interview with Mr. Kevin Williams. Kevin, we made it. Thank you so much for being here. I'm so pumped about this.
Trevor, I'm pumped. And thank you so much for taking time to get to know our story and allow me just to have a conversation with you. How cool is this? I get to talk to Trevor today.
It's a pleasure. And as you would say at Chick-fil-A, it just is a pleasure. I don't care what Chick-fil-A I go to. Somebody's going to say my pleasure. Now, I've been to some that do it better than others, but for the most part, it's just uniform across the board. Y'all do a really good job with that.
Well, you know, what's evolved is really this, it's much more than just a word. You've been to places where they say, welcome to Moe's, or, you know, I love that when they say, welcome to Moe's when you walk in. That's awesome.
I just want to yell back.
Yeah.
It's like, thank you.
But our my pleasure, when you kind of teach a 16-year-old or encourage a 16-year-old to make it more than just the words, but you actually make it the heart of what you're saying and see, you know, we're in the fast food business, man. It's highly transactional and fast. You know, people are coming and going. But when you can stop and say, hey, I'm going to say a my pleasure and actually mean it and see that person for who the person is that's across from me, it does change the game in a big way. And I tell people, when you start doing it to your mom, I say, when you're, you know, almost lure your parents into it. This is what I like, go empty the dishwasher and they'll say, thank you for emptying the dishwasher. And you say, it's my pleasure. They will freak out. And I promise you'll get more things. You'll get more things out of it. So if you don't do it for anything other than the opportunity to get more, be on a selfish side of things, it's a great move.
I love your mindset. I love your attitude. I was watching your Instagram video last week where you stopped at your brother's Chick-fil-A location, and y'all are both like just super energetic, but I think you take the cake for it. But he definitely gave you a run for your money on that. So what got you guys started with Chick-fil-A?
Yeah, he loves to go irrational kindness. He loves to have fun with the irrational word. Well, you know, I first heard Truett Cathy speak when I was a teenager. And I don't remember eating at Chick-fil-A. I definitely remember having an entrepreneurial spirit because I took over my brother's grass cutting business. And we had about three or four lawns, and I've dreamed of, you know, having an empire built on my grass cutting business. But it was here in Truett Cathy. Here was a guy who was, you realize he was 64 when I heard him speak. And this is what's been a mindset for me for a long time. But here was a guy who was not just talking about competition of business and being your best. And, you know, he wanted to be number one. Yet he also had this heart for people over here that talked about a good name is valued over great riches. And, you know, he had a lot longer mindset than oftentimes you see than just your quarterly reports or your annual reports. He had this mindset of what, you know, living on a purpose of, which is ours even today, it's to glorify God by being a faithful steward of all that's entrusted to us and to have a positive influence on all we come in contact. That's a whole different mindset than oftentimes it's like, I'm just a steward of this. And it lends itself to a much more open-handed mindset of the business. So I invite people that come to work for us in this open mind, like, hey, we're just stewards of this thing while I'm here. So when you're joining the team, you're just joining it to help it become better. And it changes, while it's a job to get a paycheck that we all are doing, it changes that mindset a little bit. And that's what I fell in love with Chick-fil-A. And while it was a long journey from that point on and a lot of perseverance and taking a store that was losing money and deciding to go into banking instead of Chick-fil-A. My brother was ended up, I was looking at Chick-fil-A, but decided to go to work for banking. My brother started getting involved in Chick-fil-A. So he was ahead of me, and then he was really enjoying it. So I started reconnecting back with Chick-fil-A and eventually got a store in downtown Atlanta in Midtown.
I love that so much. So aside from Chick-fil-A and all the success you've seen there, aside from Irrational Kindness, first and foremost, who is Kevin Williams?
Well, I'm a dad and a husband. That's, I always say I want to make sure that I'm doing a very good job as a dad and husband over my work. So I'd much rather get an A at home and get a B at work. I have no desire to get an A at work and a B at home. That formula doesn't work very well in life to me. So I seek to really honor as a be a great dad and a great husband and preparing to be a great father-in-law. I say right now, I want to be a great father-in-law, even though my kids, I don't know when that's going to happen. I'd be a great granddad. I want to be great at those things and understand that. I think that really helps me be great at, great leader and a great business person. It really lets me reframe my mind. So, but I'm just a guy that just enjoys cheering people on. I understand I don't know everything, but I don't want to miss the opportunity of things I've learned to walk alongside of people in life. And I see a lot of opportunity to cheer people on. I don't have to spend much time beating people down because the news is taking care of all that for us.
Yeah.
World. So they're good there. They don't need somebody else beating them down. But I'm a guy that sees the wonder in the world. I mean, I see we're all alike, we're all really want the same things in life, no matter what our political or, color of our skin or the differences are just beautiful. People really want the same things in life when you get in front of them. That's not what you hear out there. You hear we're all different and we all are divided. We are divided in some ways, but we're all a lot alike in a lot of ways. And I wish we could just talk more about those things because I think that's our strength.
Yeah. And talking about how we're all a lot alike, when you first got into your venture with Chick-fil-A and back when you were banking, did you ever think that there would be any opportunity for you to step out of the ordinary and be an author? Like now your book, Irrational Kindness, is out. What was the journey leading up to Kevin Williams, the author, and being able to step out into that extraordinary mindset of, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get the foreword done by the forward king, Bob Goff. It's just, I feel that so many people are working for a paycheck, like you said, and they're working their whole life just to collect that check and collect more stuff. I saw this documentary a few weeks ago on Netflix called The Minimalists, and they're just talking about everybody's obsessed with just getting stuff, and they have Dave Ramsey on there talking about everybody going into debt for things to impress other people that they'll never know. And it's almost this rat race of people that are just, it's not that we're all divided in that way. It's that we feel that we have to impress people that we're never going to meet. So how did you break free from that rat race and really just jump into, okay, Kevin Williams isn't going to be that ordinary Chick-fil-A operator. I'm not going to be that normal dad. I'm going to be Kevin Williams, the guy that God created me to be, and pursue that God-sized dream.
Well, I've tried to gravitate around people and organizations that encourage me. We need that renewal of the mind. Just like you brush your teeth every day, you brushed it probably this morning. You're possibly going to brush it tonight, Trevor.
I pray so.
There's a chance. If not, you'll do it tomorrow morning, I bet. But, we all need this renewing of the mind. And I think hanging around, gravitating my mind into people that encourage me, organizations that encourage me, that believe that it's okay to seek a little failure in life. And it's okay to not be perfect. And it's okay that God wired me a certain way and he wired you differently. And it's okay that I didn't walk in your shoes, but you didn't walk in mine either. And I don't have to convince you of my shoes. I just got to cheer you on your shoes and you're what you're doing, and you can, and hopefully that will reciprocate back to me. But when I hang around people that encourage me and that inspire me, then it just gives me a little bit of boldness to take some different events. I say, 80% of my job, I'm in the fast food business. I'm just a waffle fry cook that wrote a book. I just cook fries. I mean, it's, and, While I have some different franchises, you know, three franchises today of restaurants, I didn't always have three franchises, and I've just always kind of been on a journey to be a little bolder, to seek a little more difference in life. I don't have a desire to jump out of a plane, but I do have a desire to continue to take 80% is plate spinning, but can I just carve out about 20% to look in a different direction, to look at where I want to invest in things? And that's really been important to me. And it's what, you know, Bob Goff really was a thing to say, you know what? He has a dream big. And I'd seen this dream big program he has in this thing. And I fell in love with the first time I read Bob Goff's Love Does. Book kind of sat on the counter for a while. And finally, I'm like, let me see what this book is. Somebody had given it to me. And I read it. And I'm like, wow, this is a guy that's going after it and using his life for something more than just being a lawyer, and sees things in a new perspective. But it was me saying, hey, I'm going to go out and do dream big. And then a guy saying, hey, you can write a book. Me telling him about this idea. What if I, instead of handing books to my team members, what if I handed them one of my books? I didn't think more than I could write a, you know, 10 pages. I could go to Office Max, copy them, put staples in them, all of them, and I got a book. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't trying to come up with some grandiose thing. I'm just trying to take steps towards something that's bolder, but could be talking about different things that were like the beauty of failure, the beauty of persistence, you know, seeing time in a different way, the beauty of how God created your own certified signature moves into yourself. The beauty of seeing people where they're going versus, you know, the wonky person that's in front of you. You know, you see the beauty of where people evolve to, and give them some margin, and give yourself some margin to let God speak into that, or time, kind of give them time to grow and mess up. So that was it. But then I found like Bob just cheered me on saying, you know, keep going. And then I find other people that just like keep going on, and you get plenty of people that like look at you and think you shouldn't do something, but you know,
for sure.
And I listen to those, but at the same time, I'm not going to let them occupy my mind. I'm going to keep going on and just take it a day by day to carve that little 20% out to keep moving down a bold path. That's not scared, to try some different things.
I love that you said you don't allow those things to occupy your mind. I don't believe that a vast majority of the population, and even our listeners here, realize how valuable the real estate in your mind can be. When you allow those negative voices to seep into your mind and really start taking over your thoughts, the enemy's winning at that point. But when you say, okay, I've had enough with that, like, God, what do you want me to do? There are going to be times where you lose your job, or you just like have these crazy God-sized dreams that you think they're crazy God-sized because they are, and you just have to pursue them. And that's thinking outside the box, which is something that I think that you do a very, very amazing job at, and even with communicating. But a lot of people don't realize that yet. So if you were to go back to step one and go back to the drawing board before the book was written or anything, when you first had that crazy idea, if you were in that position today, how would you tell people to go about that? What would be your first step to thinking outside the box?
Well, one thing I tell myself oftentimes, and I told myself through this process, it reminded me just on what you just said. You know, I had this idea the other day. You know, you turn the news on and you just get beat down with negativity. I said, you know, like in a pool, you know, the lifeguard will blow the whistle and say, adult swim, and all the kids got to get out of the pool, and the adults get a little time, and it gives the kids some rest. I thought we need that in the news cycle. You blow the whistle at 10 minutes before the hour, and they have to actually talk about really amazing things happening in the world with normal people, because people are serving everybody, and there's all kinds of awesome things in the world. So I don't know if we can pass a law like that, but we can't, you know. But I also want to say is we can't change those things. So you focus on the things that you can. Although I wish that was the news was different. Here's what I can change. I can change where my mind's looking. And so when you have a crazy idea, just remember there's two things I think. One is my joy is not necessarily in that thing. If I didn't ever get the book published or get the book done, that was okay to me. I wasn't scared of that. I was scared of not trying, and I was scared of not taking that next step. But what I tell myself is the joy is in today. The joy is not necessary in the past. That's gone. In the future is unknown, but I have today. So rather than thinking that joy's right there, when we're tackling a big idea, a big goal on in Chick-fil-A, I try and keep pointing my mind to it, because it can be a tricky thing, is that's not where the joy is. The joy's right here, how we're spending time together. And then you don't have to have it all figured out. Just take some bold steps and let it unfold. And like I said, if it was going to Office Max and printing 10 papers, it took the power away from the fact that I got to have something more than what I got to have. And that was my journey.
And when you go into Office Max, you can have two different scenarios. You can go in and you can be irrationally kind to people. You can go in and you can be really mean and ugly. What do you think it means to live with irrational kindness?
Well, you know, irrational kindness simply means to see things in a little different perspective. You know, again, it's not trying to know it all. It's looking at different scenarios of people and realizing that I haven't walked in their shoes. And so when I can look at things in a different way and see that person across the thing, and I give itself a little kindness pause. We talk about with the team, we're serving guests really quick. If I can just give a second of a kindness pause, maybe the transaction's got to be right and we're busy and we're trying to make sure the order's correct and we're getting it, you know, connecting with the guest to make sure the order and all that's done fast and accurate. But I can carve out about 2 or 3 seconds to then see the person that's in front of me and to honor them and what they're doing and saying, thank you. I love your car. You know, I love the shirt that you're wearing. They actually see the person that's there and actually connect with them about something about them. That changes everything. I think we can do that with each other. You see people in just a different way. You see the people that you, and even your enemy, you know, even that person that drives you nutso that you just don't agree with. You know, we don't have to always be looking to be right. I've learned one really cool thing in this whole year of, you know, a lot of the racial divides and things like that, really leaning into different relationships that honestly I feel a little wonky in sometimes, because there's people that are totally different with me. But when I intentionally go there, I learn so much more. Is first of all, we all have a lot in common. And second of all, a lot of it is emotion. So rather than trying to be smart, like I know more than you and what you're saying is wrong mentally up here, push that aside and realize a lot of it is just emotion. It's the way the experiences you had, Trevor, versus the experiences I had. And that's just an emotional difference. So quit worrying about trying to convince that person of something and just walk alongside of them and cheer them on. And they'll in turn cheer you on. And that's our relationship, walking alongside each other. And that opens up for a conversation that can change the world.
With having that mindset, I can only imagine how many customers you have come in and they're just looking for something to get upset about. When you have those scenarios, how do you choose to be kind in that moment?
Yeah. Sometimes we could be absolutely right. Somebody says, hey, I want to, Chick-fil-A sandwich, and then you gave them a Chick-fil-A sandwich. They're like, I ordered a char grill sandwich. Did you not hear me? You know, they just say, you're like, well, I know I just heard what they said, but that's not for us to be right. It's like, you know, that's fighting a game that, you know, you don't know what that person that's frustrated is really frustrated at. Most of the time, it's not about you. It's not about the situation. It's about something possibly going on in their life. So when you see the person, we have a thing called everybody has a story. It's just a way to remind ourselves that, man, that person that's frustrated, they may have really just found out their mom is incredibly sick, or, you know, their relationship is just on the skids, or their child is really acting up, or the child is getting, you know, not getting cared for at home. It can be all these different things. And you know what? People, just because somebody looks somewhat certain way does not mean how they are behind the counter or behind their mind. I mean, I have young people that come to work for us, and you look at them, you're like, you could just forget and not feel the see the value of pouring into them. But man, they're hurting at home, and they're getting not getting the care they need at home, or they're not getting encouraged. And you know, it's just all superficial on the face. And I just want to get behind that and realize there's more to each other than what you're just seeing on the surface. Whether you're mad or whether you're happy, it's like, you know, let's walk alongside of each other and understand a little more there. It's a beautiful journey to be on with people.
When you were first getting started out, did you always have this mindset, or was there a time where you could remember being that boss that you're not too proud of?
Well, there's plenty of times that I'm not proud of what decisions I made. Absolutely. But there's, I tell you what I found out more of when I first started, because I think I've always had a slant towards, you know, care, softer side of things. Probably, you know, they say relationships and results. I've probably always been a little heavier on relationships, but I used to think that was a negative. Certain leaders would tell me that's a negative thing.
Same.
And I've realized, you know, that there are some opportunities for me to grow in clarity and results, but I also can be who God created me to be. And I find if I lean into relationships more and explain the results we're going after, then I can get a team of people that will fight. Honestly, they fight harder than I will sometimes. Get behind me. And they're charging the hill ahead of me. And I just get inspired by that. So I've learned to embrace a little bit about who I am and embrace that piece. And like I said, I say being kind, you know, is not mean stick your head in the sand or getting run over. It simply means being kind and, you know, realizing that we're different. And I think in politics, and not feel like I can change things, but, you know, we can all use a little bit more of just getting to know each other a little better. But I don't want to, you know, it's not Pollyanna. It's really strategic kindness. I'm not into random acts of kindness. I'm into, in my mind, strategic of finding the right places to place that kindness that we can grow and connect with each other.
I love that you say you're not into random acts of kindness. I've always been the same way. There's something about the saying random acts of kindness that I could see where there's good intention there. But when you just say, I'm going to have a random act of kindness, there's no thought process behind it. There's no mindset shift. It's just random at that point. But you mentioned something that really hit my brain and got my brain working. I'm like, I really got to understand where he's coming from with this. I feel like people could really, really benefit from hearing a little bit about what you said about everybody has a story, having that mindset.
Yeah, it's you know, and it can come with your team as a leader in your restaurant or leader in your work or leader in your, you know, heck, in your home. You know, we're all on an evolution path, and I'm not the same guy I was 20 years ago. I'm not the same. You know, I'm going to be somebody different thing. I'm still, you know, I want to keep evolving as I know other people are. When you realize that person in front of you has something going on and they just may need that encouragement or something to celebrate, you know, and when you unleash that with your team, we had an instance one time that we had somebody pass away. One of the teammates, it was a regular couple that ate with us all the time. And because we celebrate this kind of mentality within our organization, the beauty of failure, I say I'd rather restrain Mustangs than kick mules. I mean, I want us to see people and celebrate people and seek those things to honor people with. We had this, I had been out of town. And when this two customers, one, the husband passed away, I came in, it was a Sunday, and I drove by the store and I see all these people in the store. And I'm like, it's Sunday. No one's supposed to be in the store. I come in, they had the entire family of this gentleman's family. And they had done a huge balloon release for them. They had cakes there and cookies there. They had baked some food from within Chick-fil-A only just to give away. It's like that's seeing somebody and realizing the potential you have to honor somebody. And certainly you can do it in tragedy, but it can, like I said, it's the real work and the hard part and the why it requires renewing of the mind, Trevor, for me, is because I got to do it when it's hard. And I got to do it when they're not so friendly. And I got to do it when I don't always agree with them. And that takes a lot of, you got to practice that one, because it's easy to do when it's easy. Can you do it when it's hard? And that's the work. And I can't fix hard. I say hard is just normal. I love asking people, hey, what's hard in life? It's one of the, just the random questions I'll ask people when I do my coffee with Kevin, is what I call it, when I talk about some of these things. I say, what's hard? And you know, like, those are just all awesome. They're all hard. I can't do anything about those. They're normal. But what I can do is take this little 20% of my brain that I can redirect and prepare myself for that hard, to see that customer that's just not even talking and realizing, you know, how, and I'm not trying, when we interact with guests, one thing I don't try and do is, if they're at a three, let's say on a mood meter, they're at a three or a four, they're just kind of on their phone and in their world, I don't try and come in at a 10 and like, you know, look at me and get annoyed at them for what they're doing. I actually want to try and meet them where they're at. If they're on their phone and they're doing something, I want to honor that and try and, you know, I just want to come in at maybe a four, just a little notch above them to keep that zone in. But, you know, if you do that and you keep practicing at it, you start finding, you know, God opens these little windows and nudges you in different ways that allow you to see with people, you know. You know, it's opening to, I do it with my team. I'll just go to the back and of our kitchen and just talk to some people. And one of my things that I think I try and do is ask them, how are they doing? And then what do they need? And then, you know what I do? I try and actually listen to it, because it's easy to ask a question and then I'm off to the next day. Like, I asked the question, that was me showing I cared. I actually want to try and listen to what they say. And then one kid told me just a couple days ago, he said, man, my so-and-so and my mom's sister is really sick and it's really wrecking my family. And boy, I just put my hand on his shoulder and I prayed with him right there. I just said, you know, just a short little prayer. Just say, man, I'm with you on this. It's hard. I don't have all the answers, but just, he knew somebody was cheering him on. And I think that's what we're doing for each other. And you listen, if somebody says, hey, is the pieces of equipment working? And if they say, you know, this one little piece, I guarantee you, I'm going to have that thing fixed in a day. I'm putting every effort I got. I am not going to let them. I want them to know that I'm there with them. And so a long answer to say, it's just being a part of the journey and being listening to what's going on and how can you respond in a way that shines light on them.
I love that so much. And I really want to close out this episode with a little nugget of advice from you. When it comes down to it, what do you believe are five simple ways to show kindness, especially here in 2021? As of very, very recently, as we're recording this the day after the inauguration, we have a brand new administration in office, and there's a good 50% of America that is upset. There's a good 50% of America that is super happy. But no matter what side of the political aisle that someone is sitting on, what do you believe are five ways we can all show kindness in 2021?
Let me give you five little quick things that I think they're not hold the door open for your grandmother, because those are great things to do. I challenge everybody to hold your door. But these are mindsets that I just want to, that I'm seeking to gain on this renewing of the mind on a daily basis. I kind of bookend my day. At night, I try not to have it to the TV or social media. I try and end it with something that I'll either do a devotional or I'll just read Surfer magazine. I love a Surfer magazine or something that gets my brain
like
in a
surfing?
Creative. Surfing, yeah, like surfing.
I can see it.
I've done yachting magazines. I'll do like a year subscription to weird magazines because I just want my brain to go in a different way versus this. Learn there's more to life. It can be I've done Westerns. I've done all kinds of little random magazines. Surfing's my favorite because it really gets me out of my zone. and then in the morning, I try and book it in with a little devotional. I love the Headspace that gets my brain, you know, just restful and thinking of this renewing of the mind. But here's a few things I like to talk about. Age is a second wind. These are all kind of irrational. You know, no matter what age you are, it's really a chance to be a second wind. give people a chance to grow, some margin, some space. Don't just judge them by where they're at today. You know, they're all, you were somewhere different and where you're going. The beauty of failure. Failure is just a wonderful thing. And so when somebody messes up, how about encouraging them to say, that was awesome. You know, even if it messed up something really bad, that was awesome, and find the beauty in that. I think grit is persistence and patience. It's like, how do you have those two married together to be persistent in that constant grinding, yet also be patient to give you plenty of time? You don't have to have the world conquered by the time you're 27 and, you know, 50,000 followers. It's okay. Keep grinding it out. And then seek to see people not as just a transaction, but to understand that everybody has a story. And those are some few ways that you can just carve those out in your busyness of 80% of the time, keeping this plate spinning, but you find time to renew your mind in that area. I think you'll see the world and yourself in a different light.
I love that so much. Now, Kevin, where can people stay connected with you?
Hey, come to irrationalkindness.com. You can see the tour we went on, where we went from Georgia to New York City in the middle of COVID, just braving the way along, partnering in every state with a different some friends in each state to celebrate the wonderful things going on, just to be that spark to see how amazing things people are doing. And then you can also see the book, where we're really telling these different stories, and I call them chords. They're just different things that you can hold on to that help spark that. And we're on a journey with you. And so you can, we're also in Canton, Georgia, just sitting here serving Chick-fil-A sandwiches. So we're on the journey with you. And I hope the book inspires you for hope and encouragement.
And I just want to go ahead and put this in there. Kevin is recording this interview in the playpen at Chick-fil-A in Canton, Georgia. If that says anything about his personality, I think that the best way to close this episode out is to do a call to action. Everybody needs to find a Kevin Williams in their life. They need to be Canton. They need to be kind and show irrational kindness. That is the goal. That's 2021 summed up. Find you a Kevin Williams and go get Kevin's book, Irrational Kindness, either at irrationalkindness.com or you can get it on Amazon. And also go listen to his podcast, Irrational Kindness, on all streaming services. Find him on social media, Facebook and Instagram. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us today. I definitely benefited from this conversation exchange with you. And I'm walking away feeling encouraged and just a nudge on me to be a little more kind today. So I really appreciate you.
Cheering you on, Trevor. Thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
The content we feed our minds will eventually show up in our lives. If we feed our minds the lies and confusion of this world, our lives will begin to reflect worldliness. But if we feed our minds the truth of the gospel, our lives will start to reflect the heart and character of Jesus. I'm John Stonge, and each week I host the Dwell on These Things podcast, where we take a deep look at the Word of God and learn what it means to apply it to our lives. We don't skip difficult passages, and we don't gloss over the truth. If you're looking for a show that will put your mind in a better place and help you understand God's Word with more clarity, you can listen to the Dwell on These Things podcast at lifeaudio.com or on your favorite podcasting app.